Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Yes, welcome to the show. 7 after 6, Mark Reddings and Will Schofield taking you through until, well, the Premier announces what's happening in this grand state of ours approximately 7.30 tonight. We are, without preempting the results and the decision by the government, going to talk a bit about if the border is pushed back, what it means for sport in this state. Speaking of sport, Will, we've got Nick Kyrgios currently in action against Daniil Medvedev. He's down 2 sets to love, but we're seeing the best and the worst of Nick.
We spoke about this last night and I said, I think Nick's a chance. And you said, absolutely not, no chance whatsoever. And look, at this stage, it looks like you could be correct, Mark, but we'll just keep you updated. 7-6, he lost the first in a tiebreaker. 6-4, he lost the second. And right at a very important part of that game and that set, he decided to play a nice little between the legs special. Oh. And we weren't too happy about that in here. Well, you were and I wasn't, but he's in a little bit of trouble at the moment.
He is indeed. And just had a long discussion with the chair umpire, and we believe it was about the ball, kids not handling the towels, and we know there's implications with COVID, etc. He might have been nabbed for a time violation. Either way, you can see him unravelling just without the audio on and just watching him go through the motions. Our hot topic for shop online and in-store at barbecues galore, the range, the price, the knowledge, now you're cooking. Let's get deep into this, Scully, without knowing the full facts, but it looks like sport, if the border date is pushed back, there'll be quite a few athletes impacted by this. And we realise in the grand scheme of life, it is only a small percentage of what people are going through, but on a sports program, that's what we talk about.
Yeah, that's correct. I think we can limit this, hopefully, to the sporting realm, because we are Sports Day here at 6 PR. And yeah, again, we must point out that we don't know exactly what's going to be told in this press conference, but we were thinking before the show, Skeet, what's going to happen if the borders do get pushed back, maybe a month? Let's use that. I think there'll be some sports stars stuck out of the state. They won't be able to get home. That would be the first thing that I would say. There will be players right now that would be expecting to come home as soon as their leagues or things have finished, and they won't be able to get back for another month.
Well, put another slant on it. You think once the Scorchers finish their campaign, they will obviously head home and have to do the 2 weeks quarantine. They would have maybe ordinarily stayed over on the East Coast till February 5 and then come home without any restrictions. Now, that may not come to pass. As for the A-League team, Perth Glory, NBL, Perth Wildcats, AFLW teams, there's a lot to unpack on this. And also, thinking of any home matches between now and the end of the season in those respective sports, it does throw another curveball at them.
Yeah, I mean, another month would certainly impact what we would see here in WA and any sort of likelihood that we were going to get some live sport in the next perhaps 6 weeks post that Feb 5, planned opening, reopening without restrictions date. If that does change, live sports isn't really much of a chance here. I wonder what people think. 133-82. Are you disappointed if that's going to be the case? No more live sport for another period of time? Or are you happy? Keep the borders shut, keep us locked down and continue on the way we've been going.
Yeah, I'm not happy, but that's only because we were given the parameters, we were given the rules, a 90% vaccination. All of those issues were put in place, and if the rules had changed at the last minute, for mine, unfortunately, that doesn't work. I'm not sure what a month will do for our hospital system. Not sure what a month will do for a lot of the issues that we brought up tonight. But again, we preface the fact this has not been confirmed, but a 7.30 press conference, it will have implications for sport if the border is put back, or the opening date at least. 133-882. One issue in football that's worth touching on is Jordan Dugowie, who has been welcomed back into the Collingwood nest because his court case has essentially been resolved.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great result for Jordan personally, I think. And, you know, there was a lot of debate and discussion around what actually had happened over there in New York. But you would say a court proceeding, just like Novak. Once that's done and dusted, I mean, the court is the final judicial area that'll be solved in. So it sounds like that's all done and dusted. Jordan Dugowie will be welcomed back to Collingwood tomorrow. Again, thinking about sport rather than off-the-field areas, Jordan Dugowie would be close to Collingwood's best player and they may not have had him back this year. To have the court case done, he's going to undertake some service with the Salvation Army, I believe a permanent part-time position there, and I guess rectify some of the issues he's had off-field. But from a footy perspective, Collingwood have really come into almost a reset mode, and they're effectively getting a player back that they thought they may have lost. I mean, Jordan Ngoi, at his very best, you cannot argue that he is one of the best in the competition. Can he get himself to his best, both from a mindset view and a physical point of view? And what does that mean for Collingwood? As a football observer now, Skeet, I'm pretty excited to see Jordan Ngoi go at it.
Look, he's a really good player. Let me ask you this. Off the top of my head, I think he becomes a free agent or certainly enters that area in the next 12 months or so. What happens? Other clubs, do you jump at a player like him knowing there's baggage? And we know it's become almost part of the recruitment strategy. You can recruit a player of great talent, but if they bring with them bad behaviour and essentially detract from the culture that you've created, that's counterproductive.
I would think most clubs would back themselves in with their own culture.
They all do.
Correct. I don't think there's many going around that put a big red cross through many in the AFL. Depending on what's happened, depending on the actions they have either allegedly done or maybe doing, I would think there's not many clubs that would put a red cross through some, especially if they feel like they've got strong culture, especially if they think that winning and putting better players around someone like a Jordan Ngoi would help him. So, look, I honestly think from an AFL club's point of view, there'd be a lot looking at him, especially if Collingwood aren't going to sign him up, especially if Collingwood did move on from him in the future. If I was running an AFL club, I'd be signing him up. He's a very good player.
The question mark is, and looking into the future, given his history, there's a fair chance or there's a possibility if he does cross that line again, how many more chances does a player like Jordan Ngoi get from a club? And that has applied to a lot of players at a lot of clubs. I suppose the better you are, the more chances you get.
Yeah, again, it's a broad, you know, system and thing to talk about, isn't it? But I would think clubs, if something criminally has not been proven in a court of law, I think clubs would try to look at it like that, to be honest. They want their best players playing, but as you've mentioned as well, there will come a time where enough's enough and no more chances are given. But you are right. I think the better players are given more chances than perhaps a lowly ranked rookie player, not as many games, not as much potential. Clubs may walk away from those types before they walk away from a Jordan Ngoi. But to be honest, I don't really agree with that form of thinking of walking away. I'd like to see more help put in place for people that can't quite get things together off field.
And maybe that applies on a local level. Elijah Taylor, former Sydney Swan, was in court yesterday. East Perth have declared they'll stand by him. Of course, Elijah was with Sydney, spent a little bit of time at Perth when he returned to the fold. And of course, his future very much lays at his own feet now. His behaviour will determine whether he gets to play WAFL again. So there are players, and let's be honest, a lot of the players that we do see go through these scenarios, Will, some of them come from pretty, and this is no excuse, come from difficult social backgrounds, upbringing. So that's often lost in the story.
You do raise a good question, though. At what point does the footy stop doing the talking, and your actions and your persona or the way you act or things you do away from the football field? When does that start mattering? And it's a serious question. Is it one to apply to these particular situations? I don't know. Sometimes you're not privy to enough information, especially in the media or in the public, and you're watching along from the outside. It's difficult to understand the context and what's actually happened and gone on. That's why I tend to like taking a bit of a, I don't know, if it's a softer view, then fair enough. But sometimes if you don't have the context and understanding, it's difficult to make decisions and have opinions without knowing the true value of what's happened. So I think that's important.
Very good call. Will Schofield on Sports. So let's go to Collie. Troy wants to make a call. Hi, Troy.
Hey, boys, I'll give you a call. It's bloody hot.
You're not wrong there. Correct, even in Collie. Collie's supposed to be not cooler than everywhere else.
Oh, that's in winter, Steve, not in summer, mate.
Okay, Troy. It's bloody...
boys, what I wanted to ring about was the Jordan Ngoi. I'm not going to go into the court case or anything like that. Will, how long you been out of the AFL bubble for? A couple of years?
2 years now, Troy, yep.
Yeah. And I'd like to think you could take your player hat off now, and as a general person, and I mean that in a nice way. They're not doing him any favours doing what they're doing. He's not facing his consequences for his actions, not just this, but what he's done in the past. And they're not doing any favours for it, because what happens, right, he's in a big bubble wrap with the AFL, and you had a player, they had a player at the Eagles there, and he said last year, he said that the AFL bubble was a sanction to him, like a safety barrier for him, because he had structure in his life. Well, what happens when he comes out of that? Well, you know, even pre-season, I mean, after season, you know, he's in the real world and he can't handle it. So they're not doing anybody any favours, and as far as I'm concerned, they should just move him on, because it's not the right culture there anyway, for starters.
Well, you may be right, Troy, but I guess I'll fall back on what I just said, which was you've got to have the full contest with everything you talk about in this. Nature, you've got to understand from both sides. You've got to understand where Jordan's come from, if we use him as an example. You've got to understand what he's being told from Collingwood. You've got to understand what's happened in the court cases or actual incidents that have happened. There's been a lot of noise and a lot pending on top of his head, but do I personally know exactly what's happened? No, I don't. So I find it hard to pass judgment, and I find it hard to say, flick him out on the sidelines also, because yes, that is a correct statement. The AFL lifestyle is structured. It is based on a system, and it does create support. So if you don't think staying around in that environment is a good thing and flicking him out is the right thing, Troy, well, I would argue that the consequences of doing the opposite may have potentially worse ramifications than if you do keep him around. Having said all that, I think you've got to find the right culture for people to behave in, and that's what clubs will want to do. He's got one year remaining on his contract. He's got his brother-in-law looking after him in the management perspective, and he'll want to have a bloody good year of footy so he can make his next best decision, and he'll want to keep himself doing the right thing off the field as well.
Troy, thanks for your call. A quick update from the tennis. Nick Kyrgios up against Daniil Medvedev. Medvedev taking the first two sets 7-6, 6-4. It's 2-2 in the third. Medvedev's 40 love up serving. He should make it 3-2, but on serve in the third set, no mistakes allowed for Nick Kyrgios if he's to survive and get through, and well, force this to a fourth set in any case against the world number two as it stands, Daniil Medvedev. It's 19 past 6. Plenty of time for your calls. 133-882. A reminder, the Premier Mark McGowan scheduled to make his big announcement at 7:30 about the future of WA and the borders coming up a little later on this episode of Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to the show. Thursday night, Mark Reddings and Will Schofield with you until the press conference with the Premier Mark McGowan around 7:30. Let's go back to the phones. 133-882. Craig's in Greenwood. Hi, Craig.
Okay, Mark. Will, mate, I'm just very surprised in your De Goey situation, considering your history at West Coast. If I remember correctly, West Coast in 35 years has only had one Sudanese player on their list by the name of Tariq Bayok.
Yep.
And this guy's career was basically cancelled because somebody stole because he stole somebody's lunch. Is that right?
go on. Expand on that.
Yeah, so all the audience out there, Terry was in last year on the contract. His waffle form had just turned around. He's starting to play some very good waffle form for East Perth and the West Coast, but this kid did the wrong thing. He was stealing the Willetons' lunch every day out of the fridge, and that's apparently the reason he got sacked and delisted.
Wow, there's a bit of there was a bit of mayo on that sandwich, and there's a little bit of mayo on your story there, Craig, but that's a bit of humour from you. Very good. Tariq Bayok.
Yeah, remember the name?
Wasn't stealing. He took a roll that had my name on it out of the fridge and he ate it. And I wasn't too happy about it.
How did Craig find out about this?
I was on my podcast, Backchat Podcast. There you go, Skate. Very nice little toe in there, mate. Look, very good, Craig. I enjoy that call. You can catch some of the best stuff over at Backchat Podcast. But in saying that, The culture, bringing it back to that at AFL footy clubs, that drives a big part of player behaviour. So even though Craig's having a bit of a laugh with, you know, taking of other people's lunches out of the fridge, players within AFL clubs set the culture, and it affects how things happen, not only on the field, but off the field. So, you know, at West Coast, we went through a period at the end of 2006, Premiership 1, and then 7 and 8, we went through a period, which is my first 2 years at the footy club, of resetting our cultural values. We set a lot of team trademarks, and it was because of off-field behaviours. And it led to performances on the field going down so far that we won the Wooden Spoon in 2010, I believe. So player behaviour and culture, although it is an off-field thing, it can turn into affecting on-field performance if you have to focus so much on turning it around. So that's why it's important to talk about things like Jordan DeGoey and other incidents off the field. How strong is your club's culture, and do you have to fully reset it as a football club in order to pull people into line? And if you do, it can take a little bit away from what you're doing on the footy field.
Yeah, good response to Jordan DeGoey, as we know, back at Collingwood after having his court case in the United States resolved. Neil's in Bedford. Hi, Neil. How are you going?
Hello, mate. Yeah, I just ring it up about if you might get pushed back. I've just put back to go to England.
Yep.
I've just got my booster and everything. I'm fully vaccinated. Am I allowed to come back into the States if he puts it back before that, you know, the time, or have I got to stay over there until, you know, whatever date he says?
That's a good question. And you've got the booster. And just off the back of Neil going back to the UK, yeah. And you'll know this yourself, Neil, is that Boris Johnson has come out today, or certainly in the last 12 hours, and has made the big statement that the restrictions, masks being lifted for those in England. I'm sure you're across that, Neil.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the cloth masks don't do anything anyway, but it's a bit wearing. You know, I'm going out, I haven't seen my parents in, you know, since it started. One of them's pretty sick. Am I going to get back in, you know, to the country? Or, you know, I'm sort of in limbo a little bit, you know?
You know what? Look, without putting falsehoods towards you and giving you misstatements, so you would have to check with the government on that, because what's going to be announced at 7:30, I'm not sure if they'll have a correlation to borders internationally, whether there's going to be any impact on that. I suspect it's more the state borders. But Neil, yes, look, I suspect that there'll be, if there is a delay to the border opening, that would also impact when you return to Australia, what time you may have to do in quarantine. But that is just a gut feel, as opposed to anything I've heard from the government.
The key word there is, Neil, yeah, is limbo.
I'm in limbo. I mean, I can only afford 2 weeks, you know, a couple of weeks off work. I'm going back to see my parents, which I haven't seen since this all started. And now it's just, it's just gone up in smoke. Yeah, what do I do?
No, our sympathies are with you, Neil. We can't give you the answer for obvious reasons. We don't have that information at our disposal, but hopefully you get some answers. Make sure you go onto the state government website and hopefully follow the instructions, the guide, and obviously important to go back to see your family. Will and I are in a very similar situation, yeah, albeit ours are interstate, not overseas. Thanks for your call, 133-882.
Yeah, thanks a lot, mate.
Thank you, Neil.
I mean, every NBL supporter, every Wildcat supporter, and every Glory supporter, I wonder if it does get pushed back, if you're happy or how you feel about potentially not seeing your team at home for the next little period, if that's what happens from a sporting perspective.
Your membership suddenly, the worth goes down and down and down. Lisa's in Ellenbrook. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Skeet. Hi, Scully. Just on young Elijah Taylor,
yep.
I think that Sydney did the wrong thing by not keeping him on. I think if they had have kept him, you know, in Sydney, he could have turned his life around. They could have helped him a lot more, like Richmond do with their players. But now I think he's just like in no man's land at the moment, and I don't even know whether he's going to be playing for East Perth. So I just feel a bit sorry for him, that, you know, that Sydney sort of discarded him. You know, I don't condone what he did. He did the wrong thing. But I think they should have given him another chance and tried to rectify his life for him.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I don't, Lisa, only because we don't know fully what happened between, you never know what happened between Elijah and the club and the court proceedings and sometimes you don't have the full story. I do agree with you. Better support is always the best option, in my opinion. Can you support and educate and make people better? How do you do that? Ideally, that would be to keep them in an environment that they're happy and comfortable with and make someone better. But sometimes you do have to pull the cord. That's what happened there with Sydney. And I guess without really being in the rooms when that was all happening, we'll never know.
And any allegations for mine of domestic violence deserve yep. utmost scrutiny yeah, from club and community. And we should not stand for it.
Yep.
And that is just a general rule as opposed to a specific case in mind. But I think any club that takes a strong stand on that has my support.
Agreed.
Half past six, Sports Day. We'll continue after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to the show. 26 minutes before 7 o'clock. It's Skeet and Scully on this Thursday night. Time for our tennis update for the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. We crossed to Craig Gabriel at the Australian Open, our Nine radio tennis expert. Craig, thanks for your time, and we are watching on the screen. We can't hear much of it, but we can certainly witness Nick Kyrgios putting on some sort of show, even though he's down two sets to love at this point.
Yep, absolutely. Look, we were figuring this was going to be a spectacle, and it is a spectacle. I mean, Medvedev took the first two sets, 7-6, 6-4, and a couple of points here and there turned that this third set, and Kyrgios is going to be serving for the third set and get onto the scoreboard. He's at 5-4 for when they come back out after the change of ends. But yeah, Nick is getting a bit even more fired up. I mean, if you know the conductor Zubin Mehta, my description is that Nick Kyrgios was conducting the audience like Zubin Mehta conducts an orchestra. So he's really been playing to the crowd and trying to gain as much energy out of the crowd, and they're certainly responding to him. I think Nick just wishes this had been 100% capacity at Rod Laver Arena to create even more of an atmosphere and noise, but it's just 50%.
Well, Craig, let's stay in Australia. Alex Demonor, he was impressive today.
Yeah, 4-4-2 against Kamil Majerczak of Poland, who was part of the Polish ATP Cup Polish team in the ATP Cup, I should say. He's coached by Joachim Nyström, who was a very prominent Swedish player in the 80s. But Alex was, he was just straightforward on Rod Laver Arena with that result. So that puts him into the third round, where he'll play Pablo Andujar.
Okay, and Chris O'Connell, massive upset. Who is Chris O'Connell and what's he done?
Well, Chris O'Connell has really been playing more on the lower levels of the tours, what's known as the challengers. He doesn't really get up to the tour level, like the 250s, the 1000s, and all those. Those are pretty big, and you really need a higher ranking to get in. He's about 145, 150 in the ranking, so it makes it difficult for him. But he did have some good results in the middle of the year, which has helped move him up a little bit. But this is a huge effort. The first time he's reached the third round of a major, beating the 13th seed, Diego Schwartzman, who is an outstanding player. And to do it in straight sets, coming back from a breakdown in the first, was certainly impressive for Chris O'Connell, who comes from the Northern Beaches area of Sydney.
Some wonderful storylines at the Open, including for WA, Matty Inglis into the third round.
Absolutely.
That's a wonderful result.
That's a superb result. So happy for her as well to get to the third round. She's never been at that level before either. Just she and Chris O'Connell are very similar in how type of tournaments they play. They really have to work hard, and this is going to be such a big benefit to both of them, but also for Matty Inglis. I mean, she said this is going to the prize money she'll pick up is, at this point, is about $300,000. So that's going to go a long way, and she, hopefully her ranking will move up enough for her to get into some of the smaller tour level events rather than her playing what they call futures, which is really a low stepping stone.
Sam Stosur bows out in potentially confirmed her last Australian Open.
Yep, absolutely. In singles, certainly, and I would say probably doubles as well. She'll play doubles the rest of this year with Zhang Shuai, and you know, could hopefully do well. But singles, that's it. She lost to Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova 6-2, 6-2, and she said, "Look, it was really nice." She's very happy with her decision, and but certainly there was some emotion on the court when they made a presentation to her. There were some speeches. The crowd gave her a standing ovation. Her parents and family were also in the stands.
Speaking of the presentation, Craig Tiley, the Australian Open director, I guess it's no surprise when he came out onto court, there were plenty of jeers, but whether that was Djokovic related or not, I'm sure either way, whether Novak was here or not, he'd still probably cop some flack.
Yeah, he did, and that's unfortunate. I mean, he's out there for a nice moment, and for some members of the crowd to do that was just really uncalled for. Sam said she actually didn't hear it because she was focused on what was happening with the people that she was with. But yeah, I just think that was in poor taste, and you know, a lot of people jump to those sorts of conclusions without actually knowing all the inner details. You know, there's reports that Tennis Australia is going to pay the Djokovic legal fees. Craig Tiley has flatly denied that. So where some of these stories come from, I don't know.
Craig, what's your opinion on, especially in the men's side of the draw, as I speak, Kyrgios has just won the third 6-4. 6-4. Who's a favourite on the men's side of the draw, with Novak obviously not being, who are you saying from form, who are you liking?
Well, most people, a lot of people are suggesting Rafa Nadal, and they're suggesting Rafa Nadal because they know him best, know of him the best. But, I mean, and while he's playing exceptionally well, I don't believe he's going to win the tournament. You know, although he's also said that if he doesn't believe he can win an event, he's not going to go there. So that's great. That's good, you know, fantastic. Good luck to him on that. But I don't think so. My two picks, actually, Medvedev, who's on now, has just left the court to change clothes, or Alexander Zverev. Those are the two top players at the moment. That's the, you know, they're playing the best. I mean, Stefanos Tsitsipas has had great success here in Melbourne over the years, and the big Greek contingent, the people over here in Melbourne, they give him plenty of support. But for me, it's, at this point, it's Medvedev and Zverev to choose from.
Craig, thanks for your time tonight.
Pleasure.
There it is, Nine tennis expert Craig Gabriel, live from Melbourne Park for the super fast charging all electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com/au. Just repeating, it's Nick Kyrgios taking the third set against Daniil Medvedev to keep him in the contest.
How are you feeling over this? A little bit nervous over there, mate. You completely written Kyrgios off last night. He said he'd be whitewashed. He's just won the third set.
I said he couldn't win, and I stand by that at 2-1.
So not nervous at all?
Not nervous at all. I haven't had an investment or anything. What I would like to know from our listeners, it's box office stuff, though. When he is on court, he's always doing something. You almost can't take your eyeballs off him. 133-882. I mean, I like him, like watching him. I don't think he'll ever win a Grand Slam. But does that still make him one of the great tennis entertainers? Possibly.
Tell us what you think about Nick Kyrgios. 133-882. Will he ever win a Grand Slam? Is that in the realms of possibility, do you think? I think he can skate. He can win one.
Not at the moment. What? Not the way he's going about his business. But he freely admits that. He's not putting in as much work as some of the others. Maybe you're being a little bit fanciful about what he is capable of against the best players in the world.
You cannot tell me he doesn't have the talent or the ability to win a Grand Slam. He has taken the number two in the world, Medvedev, to a fourth set, and he may in fact win this game. Who knows? 133-882.
He's capable, but over 2 weeks, that's how you prove you're a Grand Slam champion. You haven't done that just yet. It's 18-7. Get on the line. 133-882. Sports Day on this Thursday night.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Rolling through Thursday night. Sports Day, 14-7, fourth set underway at Melbourne Park with Nick Kyrgios down 2-1 against Daniil Medvedev. Medvedev winning the first two sets before Kyrgios taking the third, 6-4. Back to the phones, 133-882. Justin is in Vic Park. Good evening, Justin.
Yo, how are you going?
Terrific.
I'd like to say that personally, I'd suspend, the AFL would should suspend Jordan Jagowie for 12 months. He's brought the game into disrepute in another country. I don't care how good he is or how good he especially is, he's getting special treatment, which is bad for the culture of the team. So I'd suspend him as AFL player because he's brought the game into disrepute. And to your comments about seeing live sport, I've got an 80-year-old mother who's a chronic asthmatic, and I don't want to see this disease over here where she's in a vulnerable position. And for you to just see live sport, I think it's quite selfish, mate.
No, it's not, Justin. Justin, we made a preface at the start of that comment, you obviously weren't listening, that there are bigger things than sport at the moment. So don't make false statements.
Sorry about that. You've got an 80-year-old mother.
No, I'm having a discussion. An 80-year-old mother, and we totally understand that scenario. The only question I'll throw back to you, Justin, and it's not, when are you happy to open the borders? That's my question.
I think when it's a bit more under control over the east, mate.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And look,
where it's not got thousands of people in hospital.
Yeah, no, that's
what I think it needs to be controlled over there. And if we open up here, and yeah, well, we're not going to cope, mate. Our system's not coping at the moment. So that's
we agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point you make on both remarks there, Justin. I think, on the COVID situation, I suppose the sports chat is what we like to focus on, mate. Sports talk here. I mean, sports day here on 6PR, so we certainly understand there's more at stake than sport, but there is implications on sports. I think it's interesting to chat about. Jordan Ngoi one, I'm not going to die on this one. I take your point on board. Potentially actions at Jordan Ngoi, not just this one. He's been, in and amongst a few things going on. Potentially, it has brought the game into disrepute, and potentially a suspension.
12 months.
Well, I mean, it's tough and it's difficult. But look, at times, there's got to be a league that's bigger than players. And look, we love to think as players that the game just revolves around winning and players doing the right thing and players being bigger than the game sometimes, but in the end, the game has to survive longer than any player will ever play in the game for any period of time. So if there comes a point, I'm not saying that this is the point, but if there comes a point where it is deemed and ruled that the game has been in disrepute, then that's when suspensions do come in and start getting talked about. And it's not the worst point by Justin.
I would have thought Jordan Ngoi back at Collingwood could look the wrong way for the next 12 months. If he gets any rap against his name, he's got to be in trouble.
You would think so. But again, you also have to take people out of the playing and public eye as well. Players are people and people make mistakes and not everyone is cut from the same cloth and not everyone makes the right decisions. You'd like to think with some education and help around people, and not Jordan Ngoi, people would help you make the right decisions. And if you continue to make the wrong ones, that's when someone's going to stop him. But look, it's a bit of a minefield, really. When do you make that decision? I don't know. It's a fair call, Justin. Cheers.
Yeah, and Justin, just on his second point about his mum, I can give a differing view because I've got my father quite ill in Queensland and it's been touch and go for the past month or so. Haven't obviously been able to go there and get back until February 5. That may well be delayed until March now. So as much as anybody, and others have been through a lot worse than myself, and I know you have family on the East Coast, is that we want to go and see them just as much as you want to protect your family members here in WA. We're also separated from our families, and some of whom are not well.
It makes it an interesting discussion, I think. There's always both sides to every conversation, Skate. We love it.
Absolutely. Russ was in Rockingham. Hi, Russ.
G'day, fellas. Got 2 points. One's regarding Skate, the situation that you might be able to answer is, it's rumoured that when the players were in lockdown, the last two seasons of AFL, players were threatening not to travel or abandon the game until it recovered. That's my first point. And second point, guys, the other day really brought an eye opener, which to me is going to be concerned for the AFL. It happened with the Scorchers losing a point because they recruited a player in desperate need that didn't meet their salary cap demands. Now, the question that I have for you guys is, for example, the Sydney Swans, if this was during the AFL season now, for example, are they 28 players or people in their club zone COVID positive? Now, if this was during the AFL season, one, would the game be delayed for them to play for a period of time? Or two, if they went and recruited somewhere, surely it's got to affect their salary cap in some demand, because as it is, the salary cap's that tight and the AFL have reduced the amount of money that the clubs are allowed to spread across the board. So where would this be at, guys? It's two questions for a year.
Yeah, great. Great couple of questions. Thanks, Russell. I'll start on the first one, which is about the AFL COVID protocols over the last couple of years. And I was involved in that first year, and I was one of the players that I wasn't threatening anybody, but I was having discussions about whether or not I'd go. I had, this is my personal situation, I had two businesses I was running, but before that, my family were here. I had a pregnant wife and a small child. So I had to make decisions bigger than the football club and bigger than the league about my family. That comes first for me. Secondly, talking about salary caps, some of the younger players and players that were at the end of their careers, i.e. me, we had our wages split in half, first of all, and then there was other requirements around that and the salary cap. So there wasn't a lot of money at play either for some of players on either end of the list. So like any sane person, whether you're in the public eye as an AFL footballer or someone who works somewhere else, you've got to weigh up everything. So that's certainly where I was, and I think a number of other players were in the same situation, but in the end I went, got everything sorted and away we went. But it was certainly a difficult period,
and it's going to be a period of uncertainty going forward. As much as your year was, this is going to have as many potholes you think as 2020.
It could be worse, because at least the first time it came around, they locked everyone down and you weren't allowed to do anything, and everyone kind of knew that. Now is a bit of uncertainty, which, as we've spoken about, athletes don't love that. Just to touch on Russell's second point with the scorches, I found, and adding people onto lists, I found that incredible because of the situation that everyone's been in. I just thought it'd be sort of one of those ones where we, you know, okay, you didn't fill the forms out right, or you didn't quite do this right, but we understand how that happened.
They lost players prior to the game. They lost a player. Yeah. So you're right, though. Christina Matthews said the other night that it was an issue. They realised they'd made a mistake, but to be Dr. Point.
Well, if that happens in the AFL, you know, Dr. Point in the AFL and you level on points and then that takes away the percentage side of things, I think that's difficult.
Brendan's in Currumbine. Hi, Brendan.
Hey, bit annoyed about a couple of things. One is that we're going to lose half an hour of sports today. That's just not on.
Very good, Brendan.
No prize tonight, but we'll give you one.
During Ollie's program. The other one is, you reckon most of the Perth Wildcats would have got on a plane if, let's speculate that he does push back borders, that they knew they weren't coming back February 5th?
It's speaking to a few of them on this program. I think that's a very good point, Brendan, and maybe not.
And it certainly applies also to the Perth Glory boys, who assuming and expecting they could jump back on a flight come February 6 and get back unhindered. That now, with a big question mark against it.
And that goes for not only just sports teams, but, you know, everyone that's moved everything around their life. And like you say, we've got family in Queensland that we would love to go and see, or have come see us, that we haven't seen for 2 years. But we've put this all on hold, and then you think, well, things are just going to get moved around, and, you know, it affects everyone, not only just sports teams, but everyone. And it's not on anymore, you know. You kind of think, well, why did we get vaccinated? Why have we done all the right things? Because yep.
That's a fair call, Brendan.
Getting hit with a stick.
I agree. I've got family in Queensland. Totally concur with your comments. Thanks for your call. Break. Then we'd return to give you a preview of the second hour of the show.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
After the 7 o'clock news, chatting with Daniel Garb, all things football, Perth Glory, the Matildas, Cristiano Ronaldo, and our biggest guest, around 7.30, the Premier Mark McGowan, to talk about the future of the borders in this state. We're here for Toolkit Depot, top brands, ultimate range, pro service, plus the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com/au. Up next on 882 6PR, the 7 o'clock news.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6.
Welcome back to Sports Day as we turn our attention to world football. I haven't had a chat to this young man in 2022 just yet, but Daniel Garb is our expert. He covers everything that encapsulates the round ball game. He joins us now. Garby, happy new year, although we're midway through the first month of 2022.
That we are, but it's been busy for all of us amid, well, certainly on this part of the world, many disruptions, everyone doing the odd week of isolation here and there. You've avoided that in the West so far, but and hopefully you continue to after February 5 if it stays that way. That'd be nice. But, yeah, it's been an interesting new year, but good to chat to you again, Ski.
One club and one team that hasn't avoided disruption is Perth Glory. They had a 1-0 loss against Brisbane Roar last night. And I guess it's the build-up to their return to the A-League. This is fascinating with regards to their lack of match practice, so many hurdles put in their way, and so maybe a sluggish start not to be unexpected.
No, exactly right. I mean, it's really difficult for them, and they came up against a Brisbane side that had played twice the week before, who went through something similar to Perth, but had two games under their belt going into last night's game. So, yeah, tough on Richard Garcia and his side. They battled for fluidity, I think, in terms of their ball movement, but defensively they were strong. They looked really good. They made it hard for Brisbane, and then they just cop one late, which was disappointing. But the pleasing thing was, you know, around 20 minutes for Daniel Sturridge, and he looked reasonably sharp. I mean, it's his first game in a long time. We're going to see the best of him, hopefully, in the weeks to come. But just to see him out there in a Glory shirt, engineering a couple of chances, that was a positive. So, yeah, they got a couple of games in Sydney now, Sydney FC on Saturday night, and then MacArthur on Australia Day. Hopefully they can get Daniel Sturridge starting a game or playing a few more minutes and everything else set up nicely around him, and then there are a real chance to hopefully catch a win or two on the road.
G'day, Garby. Will Schofield here, mate. Now, we're in the round ball game, as usual with yourself. Matildas, what's going on over with the girls in the Asian Cup group stages? They've got Indonesia coming up.
Start tomorrow night, which is a very big tournament. It's Indonesia first, then it's the Philippines second, who are coached, by the way, by Alan Stajic, the former Matildas coach. Remember that story? That's going to be an interesting game. Yeah, that'll be an interesting game in their second group stage clash for the Matildas against the Philippines, and then Thailand to round out the group. So look, they should be fine in their group, and as per usual with the Asian Cup, it gets tough when it comes to a couple of knockout games. We won it before back in 2010, and then we've lost in the final in the two editions since, both times to Japan. So it usually comes down to Australia against Japan or Australia-Korea in a semi-final or a final, and those games are really tough encounters. But, you know, it's a good chance for Tony Gustafsson, who's been in the post for a while now, had a pretty good Olympics campaign where they finished fourth, to take things up a level. Home World Cup next year. To claim this trophy, the Confederation title, would be really big for Sam Kerr and the team. They've got to improve defensively. They've got to shore things up at the back. They're too weak there against big teams. So against the Japan or Korea, can they hold them out? Hopefully. We know they've got the quality in attack, led by Sam and so many other stars to punish those sides. So it won't be an easy tournament once they get out of the group, but hopefully it's one they can triumph in. It's certainly one to watch with interest.
And for a WA audience, you mentioned Sam Kerr, always our listeners keen to find out how she's tracking. She's obviously still winning plaudits and very close to being the best player on the planet in the women's section again.
Yeah, well, she finished third in the Ballon d'Or for the women, and then in the FIFPro Awards, which is voted on by the players for the Player of the Year over 2021, she finished second. Alexia Putellas of Barcelona in Spain won it. She also won the Ballon d'Or, so she moved up one level going between the two individual awards. Bizarrely, she missed out on the Team of the Year. Don't know how that works. You voted second best player, but you don't make the final 11. That's odd. But either way, it just shows the recognition she's held. And we've grown accustomed to it now with Sammy. But I think sometimes you've got to take a step back and go, hang on, an Australian footballer is regarded as the second best in the world by her peers. Now, be that male or female, an incredible achievement. So, yeah, she is obviously an ornament to Australian sports. And hopefully she can claim one of those big individual awards in the years to come, a Ballon d'Or or the FIFA Best Player Award. And, you know, winning a big title with the Matildas is the best way to do that. The Asian Cup helps a bit. The World Cup next year will be the main one. She's doing great things at Chelsea. So, yeah, more recognition for her.
What's happening over in the motherland, Garby, in the EPL?
Well, it wasn't a great morning for your boys, Will, Arsenal, and that's without playing. You're in that battle for fourth, that Champions League spot, which is a massive battle at the moment. That's going to be great to watch. I mean, look, Liverpool's still there with City when it comes to the title, but we don't expect them to be challenged too much. I'd love them to, of course, because I'm a Liverpool fan, but City just seems to be a class above. Hopefully the Reds can match it with them, but, you know, I think that battle for fourth is going to have us captivated right to the end. You've got West Ham, who are there at the moment, but they've played extra games. Tottenham, Arsenal and United. You know what? Chelsea could get sucked back into it as well, the way they're going at the moment. So Arsenal watched on this morning as Tottenham, who were 1-0 down, sorry, 2-1 down in the 95th minute, managed to conjure up two goals in the 95th and then the 97th minute. It is the latest that a team has come from behind to win a game in Premier League history. So that's how big of a result it was for Spurs. The previous record that was held in that regard was Aguero's winner to win the league for City in 2012. So that shows how special it was for Tottenham this morning, and a good win for United as well, away to Brentford 3-1. So, yeah, that race for fourth is going to be a massive one. Liverpool and Arsenal meet tomorrow morning in the second leg of the League Cup semi-final. It's 0-0 at the moment. They play that at the Emirates.
For any Arsenal fans out there like me, there'll be no surprises that a bit of luck went the wrong way and somehow Arsenal copped it in something like that. The only time it's ever happened. Well, surprise, surprise, Arsenal copped it. Now, Cristiano Ronaldo, he's a little bit stroppy, Christy, isn't he? What's wrong with him?
Yeah, he has been for a little while. I mean, to be honest, it's probably just a sign of United struggles at the moment. They're just not playing great football. I mean, they got past Brentford in the end this morning, but the first half was poor. He just doesn't seem to be connecting with his teammates at all. I mean, he contributed really nicely for their second goal, United. He links up with Fernandes, but it's a bit ad hoc. Sometimes a couple of special players like him and Fernandes, his Portugal teammate, they combine, but there's no real team synergy about United at the moment, and he's frustrated. I mean, at his age now, he wants to win a big trophy every single season. That's why he came to United, to challenge for the league, and to challenge for the Champions League. He wants to keep up with Messi. That's just what he's like. That's his mentality. So he sees United falling away into seventh place and dropping away as a team. And it's getting to him at the moment. And then it's having an adverse effect. It's the domino effect, because he's such a big influence that it starts to impact on the other players in the team. And it's a big talking point in the UK at the moment, the way that he's whinging a little bit, and he's a bit moody. Managerial changes and everything. It's not what he envisaged for his return to United. So, yeah, it's certainly one to monitor.
And we'll save our hardest-hitting question for the last of this batch, Garby. You mentioned Ronaldo. Well, at the Australian Open, we know that the Ronaldo celebration has certainly been mimicked and copied by fans during the Nick Kyrgios match. And a lot of Australians are asking, what's it about? Where's it originate from? We know the Ronaldo celebration, but the noise that's associated with it. Can you at least tell some of our listeners where it all comes from?
I don't know how the noise has come with it. He's done that celebration for a long time. It's always been his go-to, his trademark. And then somewhere along the line, and there may be a reason for it, but somewhere along the line, the Seoul got added to the celebration when he sort of puts his arms to the side as he jumps on the ground. Lewis Jeddah did it famously.
The Lewis Jeddah.
When he snapped it against Collingwood, Will, you were out there.
Yeah, qualifying final.
You came in the game afterwards, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was sitting in the sidelines. That's correct.
Yeah, Brad Shepherd really happy
about
it.
You came in the week after, and yeah, you won us the grand final. That's all correct. That matters. But Lewis Jeddah did it. So, it's that celebration, and now they've added some a bit of talk and a bit of noise around it. And for some reason, the tennis fans have picked it up around a Kyrgios game. I don't know. It just didn't work. It's weird.
It is bizarre. Garby, thanks for your assessment and updates on world football. I only have one thing to say to you. See you next time on Sports Day.
See you later, people of Perth. Thank you.
Daniel Garb joining us, amusing Will Schofield in the process. Very here good. On Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia, the super fast charging all electric Kia EV6.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Time for our odds update. It's that time to catch up with Tab Touch's David Short. Shorty, good evening.
G'day, Skeet. Will, great to be with you guys.
Absolutely. A bit of sport to look at. Let's begin with the big bash, the finals and the pointy end of the competition coming our way.
Yeah, big time. Looking forward to all of the finals action. Kick off of the market to win the Big Bash from here. Our Scorchers are the 220 favourites. Sydney Sixers, $2.70. $7 for the Sydney Thunder. Adelaide Strikers at $15 and the Hurricanes there is a $15 chance. For the two finals, Friday night, it's Adelaide, $1.73. Hobart, $2.10. While on Saturday afternoon, the Scorchers are $1.73, taking on the Sydney Sixers at $2.10.
There's a bit of basketball going on as well, Shorty, in the NBL.
Yeah, big time. We're looking forward to seeing the Wildcats back in action on Saturday afternoon. Before that, though, we see the Brisbane Bullets $1.42, Sydney Kings $2.85. The early game on Saturday, Adelaide 36ers $2.75, Melbourne United $1.45. And 5 o'clock tip-off Saturday afternoon for the Illawarra-Perth Wildcats game. Illawarra going the 172 faves, 212 for the Wildcats. That line sits at 2 points.
And, of course, the NFL, Scully, myself, and maybe you, Shorty, looking forward to this part of the season. It really starts to crank up in the NFL.
Yeah, big time. Absolutely, boys. I'll be hanging out to Monday morning, 7:30. I'm a big Buffalo Bills fan. Won't be easy for them taking on Kansas City. They were very good, though. Scoring machines last weekend. Wild card weekend. They're 205, though, this time around. Kansas City at 178. Prior to that, it's Cincinnati 255 up against Tennessee 153. The 49ers are $3.10 outsiders for their clash with Green Bay at 138. And the LA Rams taking on the Tampa Bay Bucks 223. The Rams with the Bucks at 166.
Oh, I reckon your boys are half a chance there. Josh Allen looked very good last week, the Buffalo Bills. What about in the racing, Shorty? How's that looking?
Yeah, big night tomorrow night out at Gloucester Park. Will, we've got the Fremantle Pacing Cup. It's always a wonderful event each and every year, and it will be no different tomorrow night out there. From a betting perspective, the horse that's drawn perfectly in Barrier 1, Minstrel, is the one the punters are happy to be involved with. It won't end there, though. The likes of Chicago Bull, Mighty Conqueror, also right there in the mix.
And racing-wise, Randwick and Ascot as well to complement our weekend.
Yeah, big time. Plenty of great races to look forward to at Randwick on Saturday. The listed Carrington Stakes, one of the features, through the cracks, the 420 favourite, Purple Sector at $7. While locally out there at Ascot on Saturday, bumper nine race program, a little bit of a later start as well with the warmer weather there. And in race number seven, Prize Miss, our $3.40 favourite, heads up betting. Great day of racing to look forward to.
Shorty, have a great weekend.
All the best, fellas. Good punting.
There it is, David Short with Tab Touch. The race starts when the bet's on Tab Touch. Better your bet. Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help on 1-800-858-858. We move straight to Chase for Charity, brought to you by Greyhounds WA. James Broadhurst from Greyhounds WA joins us for a chat. Good evening to you, James.
Good evening, guys. Good to be with you.
Let's go through what's going to be a fantastic weekend of racing, beginning with the Summer Maiden Classic at Cannington on Saturday night.
Yeah, that's right. Look, a little bit quieter this week for us, but we do have this feature race at Cannington on Saturday. This one actually got moved from Wednesday night to Saturday, I should say, on the basis of the heat, and that was a good move because our meeting last night got cancelled. That is also a possibility to be on the cards for Saturday night, so we'll just have to monitor the temperature. Hopefully that meeting can go ahead. But, yeah, if it does, it should be a nice race, this one. A couple of really nice youngsters going around in this particular event. We've got Weston Finn, who comes into this race as the fastest qualifier. He actually recovered from a really moderate start during the heat stage to go on to win this one. He looks like a pretty nice chaser, possibly a cut above the rest of the field here. It is hard to gauge because it is a field of young chasers that are that, you know, they can show improvement, marked improvement from race to race, but he does look like a handy one here, Weston Finn, and does look like the dog to beat in the Summer Maiden Classic at Cannington on Saturday.
What about for people who are listening along, maybe some nice little best bets for the weekend, James?
Yeah, okay, yeah, for sure. We're heading down to Mandurah on Friday night, and I'm going towards race seven, the dog jumping out of box seven, Bones McCoy. Look, I liked this dog last week in the Group 2 Birthday Cup, and he didn't disappoint. He won that race pretty handily. So I'm going to stick with him again this week. Circumstances are a little bit different this time round. On this occasion, he has a wide draw, but the quality of this field, not quite up to the standard as it was last week. So I think he's still going to find the lead here, guys, and should go in for another win. So that's race seven, number seven, Bones McCoy at Mandurah on Friday night. And then for that Cannington meeting on Saturday, I'm heading towards race three, number four, Wise Thunder. This dog's one race back from a short spell. He raced over the 405 metre last week and went okay. He's now stepping up to the 520 metre journey. Still, obviously, some question marks whether he's firing on all cylinders just yet, but I'm sure he's not too far away. He is a really quality dog. Look, he was a Perth Cup finalist last year
and also ran third in the Brisbane Cup. So coming into a grade five here has the edge in class over these dogs. It is a decent field. We've got Popper Mono racing well, a dog that's won his past two starts. Also West on Side, or a dog that's coming up through the ranks. But look, I'm backing the talent and class here of Wise Thunder, even though there is maybe a slight question mark about whether he's 100% here. So that's race three, number four, Wise Thunder at Cannington on Saturday.
Great to catch up with you, James. Good punning this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
There it is, James Broadhurst from Greyhounds WA. As part of our Chase for Charity, Greyhounds WA racing against motor neuron disease. And Will Schofield, we're not going to stray too far from JB and what he selected, but which dog are you taking out of his best bets?
Well, I'm going to take the one down at Mandra. I think that's almost my stomping ground down there after a year down at Peel Thunder. Bones McCoy, race seven, number seven. It's got luck written all over it. $50 on the nose for me. Thanks, Skeet.
I'll go to Cannington. I'll stick with Wise Thunder, race three, number four, $25 each way. A chase for charity and trying to raise great money for motor neuron disease.
Sports Day for Kia, the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Time to talk pacing and Friday night, Gloucester Park, always the light shining down there near the Swan River, Trinity College, part of the world. And the man who runs Gloucester Park is Mick Radley, joins us for a chat about the Fremantle Cup, $300,000 Group 1. Mick, one of the big nights on the Gloucester Park calendar.
Yeah, sure is. Good evening to you, boys. Yeah, it's a fantastic race. And I'll tell you what, the barrier draw has made it really interesting. We've got some outstanding horses competing that would really give a couple of the bigger races in the Easter shake. So really looking forward to Friday night. As I said, the barrier draw has made it really interesting with the superstar Magnificent Storm for Ray Williams on the outside of the front line, and probably his main danger drawing the rails in Minstrel. So yeah, really good race coming up on Friday night.
Yeah, you mentioned Minstrel drawing the one, which is so handy in these circumstances, and out in gate number nine, Magnificent Storm. Then you've got the third of the three real contenders, Chicago Bull, and Gary Hall Jr. gets in the sulky.
Yeah, Junior's looking for, I think, win number eight in the race. I think he's won seven previously. His father, Gary Hall Sr., who has four in the race, is looking for Fremantle Cup number 10, the Hall of Famer senior. But and I should tell you what, Chicago Bull bounced back to the winners list last week. Very interesting, the first little bit, though. Minstrel's got good gate speed, but the two on his outside, Bletchley Park and Vampiro, are also very, very quick out. And then Chicago Bull should just float across and probably land outside whoever leads. And then the big decision is to Aldo Cortopassi of what he does with Magnificent Storm, whether he goes back to last or whether he pushes forward and tries to bully him out of his rivals out of the way. But it's just made it really interesting. The last Tab Touch market I saw, Minstrel was around that 260 mark, Magnificent Storm about 440, and it's the same Chicago Bull. So really open market going into the Fremantle Cup on Friday night.
I was at Gloucester Park with you, Mick, on New Year's Eve, and Magnificent Storm started a very short favourite. Had the staggers over the 25-36 in the last 20 or 30 metres, got the money, but gee whiz, some scare for the short price punters on that occasion.
Yeah, a little bit different race. He was out in front, and Chicago Bull had to sit outside him and really tested him. Like, they went scorching times that middle section on that New Year's Eve. And actually, Chicago Bull didn't drop out either, so he was still there. He only got beat about a length and a half, 2 lengths, and he's had his fitness really drilled into him over the last couple of weeks since New Year's Eve. So, look, as I said, this is a really interesting race. I think a really good place bet is number 10, Hurricane Harley. He's got to be probably three back on the pegs, and he's got to just get every favour go his way. And I've seen in these big cup races, the horses on the pegs are usually the fresh ones on the scene. There's usually horses dropping off around them, and they get their chance. And I think he's about 280 to place Hurricane Harley. And I think it's a really good place bet, number 10, Hurricane Harley, because there could be a few others that are going to war, and they may forget about a couple of these swoopers that are going to get cheap runs.
Well, the Fremantle Cup at 8:20 on Friday night. A 10-event card, the first at 5:40, the last at 20 past 10. The weather's going to be hot. As I said, I was there New Year's Eve. You had the social distancing worked out. You had lots of people on the grass. I guess you're expecting similar on Friday night.
Yeah, the good news is at the moment there's no mask outside, so that's really good. We can actually have a DJ there, Skeet, next week. It's a little bit somber without no music. It's sort of a bit weird with no music. The Hunty videos were really good, but yeah, it was a little bit different going to a race meeting with no sort of entertainment in between it. We'll have definitely a bouncy castle for the kids and a DJ, but great racing, 10 race card, as you said. Really looking forward to it. And then we roll into the Pacing Cup in 2 weeks' time, which is also Chinese New Year on Friday the 4th of February. So, yeah, it's a couple of really big weeks for us here at Gloucester Park, the Retrovision Fremantle Cup and the Tab Touch Pacing Cup. They're our two biggest events of the year as far as racing goes, and really looking forward to, especially on a hot night, Skeet, you know yourself, you want to get out of the house, you can social distance, take the mask off and stand on the grass and watch the great racing across the park on the Friday night.
Yeah, it should be a fantastic 10 race card highlighted by the Fremantle Cup. Three genuine contenders that, as you say, there's a couple of sneaky chances as well that might upstage those big names. Mick, really appreciate your time on Sports Day. All the best for what will be a fantastic night. Weather fantastic. We know the racing, the pacing will be outstanding as well. And thanks for being part of Sports Day.
No, thanks, boys. Talk to you soon.
There it is, Mick Radley, in charge of Gloucester Park. Sports Day continues shortly.